actually a lot of NBA news right now that's happening. The United States is playing Germany right now in their final tune-up. If you guys missed it, Anthony Edwards just put together this move. Embiid got a block. Anthony Edwards had a dunk on the other end that just not a lot of human beings are able to make the play that Anthony Edwards just made. Also in the NBA, TNT, Warner Brothers, they have decided that they are going to match the Amazon offer. Now we have a legal battle that is set up. So to, I guess maybe the short way of explaining it is, TNT had an exclusive window to negotiate with the NBA. They let that window pass. Amazon swooped in, made a deal for the NBA. TNT is arguing that we can match it given our contract. Amazon and the NBA have already agreed to the deal, so who knows what channel it is going to be on. The only reason I care about this is inside the NBA. I don't really care what channel the game comes on. I mean, I'd rather them be on TNT than be on Amazon if given a choice, but I do want to keep inside the NBA, and I think the best way to do it is for it to remain on Turner. So we'll see if that ends up being the case. Earlier today, I got the opportunity to catch up with Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. We saw three new members of the Baseball Hall of Fame. Denny is in the Hall of Fame. I asked him how cool it is to see so many guys getting in.
It's tremendous and all well-deserved. Three great players and a tremendous manager. And I talked to some people about Leland, and they were very, very high on him. They just, Vance Wilson, our third base coach, former catcher, played for Leland, and he was just so many nice things about him and how good he was, how attuned he was to what was going on with his teams. And very deserving, Leland, and then the three players obviously were premier players.
We've talked about this before, but I can't remember exactly the details. What perks come with being a Hall of Famer? I'm assuming they give you a nice jacket. You know, you get a nice gold jacket. I'm guessing you get a ring. But there has to be some other perks to being a Baseball Hall of Famer like you are.
Well, you get invited back every year. That's pretty nice. And if you want to play in the golf tournament, which was great fun, you can do that. And George Brett likes to go back there. It's like a homecoming or a class reunion for him. I can understand it. He loves the golf tournament, too. And you can renew friendships and even guys that you didn't really play against much who were in the other league, and you get to know them better. And it's just a wonderful 4 or 5 days for everybody. The one thing about it, though, it's really hard to get there. If you want to go to Cooperstown, you really want to go to Cooperstown because it's hard work to get there. But once you get there, I'll tell you what, it's worth it and then some.
Who was a former player, or maybe it was a coach or a manager? Who was someone that was a really good golfer that you've got a chance to play with?
I played with Carlton Fisk and Whitey Ford, of all people. Whitey was in his early 90s. Fisk was not that recently removed from a player, so he was in pretty good shape, and Fisk was a very good golfer. And I was somewhere in the middle of that, and we teed off on our first hole, and both Fisk and I hit the ball pretty well and in the middle. And Whitey Ford looked at us, and he said, "The heck with you guys," although he didn't say it quite that way, "the heck with you guys, I'm going to play from the women's tees." Fisk said, "Whitey, you can play from whatever tees you want to play from." But it was a great time, and talking to Whitey and talking about the guys that he pitched against and played with, and of course, he and Mickey Mantle were very close, and Fisk played for the Red Sox and then the White Sox, and he was great fun. It was just a blast. It was, George Brett told me, and he had been there and inducted about 7 or 8 years before I was, and I asked George about it the whole weekend. I had never been there, and he said, "I'll tell you what." He said, "It'll be 5 of the most memorable days of your life." And he said, "It will be 5 of the fastest days of your life. It'll go by so fast because there's so much going on." And he said, "Do your best to slow it down and just enjoy and embrace everything that happens." And I did my best. And he was right. It did go flying by. But, wow, what a great experience.
Right now, we're talking to the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, Denny Matthews. Denny, I don't want to take anything away from Seth Lugo. I don't want to take anything away from the Royals, and we'll talk more specifically about the Royals. But the White Sox, they are an awful baseball team.
Yeah, it's really the worst Major League Baseball team I have ever seen. And you have to win three games against them. If you have your sights set on postseason play, if you don't beat them three games, especially when you're at home. Now, the Royals go back to Chicago. They'll play there. Very impressive was their starting pitcher yesterday. I mean, the Royals did nothing with him. And then, of course, their bullpen, which is the worst and the most blown saves of any big league team. Once the bullpen came in, game over, Royals are going to win it. And but they've got a couple of other pitchers on the White Sox staff, which they're going to be a challenge. And I'm sure the Royals will probably see two of them and maybe the young guy who pitched yesterday. And if those three guys line up against the Royals, Royals are going to have their hands full in Chicago. But White Sox can't score. And they give away too many walks. They give away too many runs, too many errors on their defense. It's just a bad, bad baseball team. And it's a historic franchise, the Chicago White Sox. And you just hate to see any team go through something like that because they come rolling in here. And the games, I mean, they're competitive, but not really. And like I said, if you don't win three games against them, why, you may reassess your plans or postseason, but the Royals handled things. They did what they had to do, and now it's going to get a little bit tougher with Arizona coming in, and then, of course, we'll see the other Chicago team next weekend.
And that's why I look at this stretch for the Royals, that it's been a while since the Royals have been hot. It's really been almost 2 months. You remember they had that stretch where they won eight games in a row where they just dominated a homestand. It's been a while since they've been at that point that I look at this stretch. You mentioned it. You got the National League Chicago team. You got another series against the Chicago White Sox. This is a nice little run here heading into that home series against the Boston Red Sox. This is a stretch to me for the Royals to really catch the momentum ahead of a really important series against the Red Sox.
Yeah, you would hope so. But then take about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks into the schedule from here, and there are some tough stretches where the Royals are going to be playing really good teams. And that's the most important stretch of the season. I think it goes, I don't see the schedule in front of me, but I'm going to say it's from maybe the 10th or 12th of August until around the 1st of September, maybe the first week of September. And that's going to really, really be the importance of continuing to play well, continuing to play consistently, because it's going to be a test.
Right now, we're talking to Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. I mentioned not wanting to take anything away from Seth Lugo. He pitched almost as well as you can without being perfect. I mean, you go a complete game, three-hitter, one earned run, six strikeouts, no walks. I mean, other than a no-hitter or a perfect game, it is almost as well as you can possibly pitch.
Yeah, it's well put. And, yeah, and he just almost toyed with them. And he has such a great idea of what he's doing, and he's got all those pitches. He's almost like the mad scientist out there on the mound, because he's got seven or eight pitches, and he just kind of plays with them, and what works, and what do I have good command with today, and what are they trying to do to me, and I'm gonna go against that, what they're trying to do to me. I've got the answer for that, and he's just fun to watch, and what a job he did yesterday.
Denny, you've seen a lot of baseball games. When do you know a pitcher has it? Like, when is that moment where you are watching a start where you realize that you were going to see something special the way you did yesterday if you went to the ballpark?
Sometimes it's the first two innings. What kind of swings are they getting? How's his command? Sometimes it doesn't come until the third or fourth inning. There's an old saying in baseball, especially the great pitchers like Bob Gibson and Warren Spahn and all of them, all the great pitchers, starting pitchers, and they say, if you don't get them early, you're not going to get them. And Tom Seaver told me one time, we had a long talk, and Seaver said, I'd started the game, and maybe if I didn't have my curveball the way I wanted it, I couldn't I couldn't really command it the way I wanted to. He said I'd put it on the shelf for three or four innings, and then I'd come back to it later. Maybe it'd come back, maybe it wouldn't. But he said, you got to recognize early what you have, what your command is, command of the pitches, how the pitches are shaped, and what the hitters are trying to do. And he said, you can figure that out pretty quick. But if I don't have my real good stuff in the first couple of innings, I don't want anybody else in the ballpark to know that. He said, maybe my catcher will figure it out after a few pitches. But he said, everybody else in the ballpark, even my teammates, I'm going to act out there on the mound like I love my stuff today. And he said, you can really fool a lot of people. But he said, it's as much a mind game as it is anything else in that regard.
Let me give you Bobby Witt's slashes for the last 15 games. He is hitting .508. With a .516 on base percentage, and he is slugging at .864 over the course of the last 2 weeks. It is impossible to play better baseball than Bobby Witt Jr. is right now.
Don't wake him up. Stay away from him. Just let him go out there and continue to do that. But, yeah, he's in one of those stretches right now where everything is cooking for him. And talk about Lugo being fun to watch. What about Witt? Same thing.
I guess maybe outside of George, how many times have you seen a player that goes through this kind of stretch right now? I mean, we're talking about a guy right now in Bobby Witt Jr. who has the most hits in Major League Baseball, the most multi-hit games. He had three consecutive three-hit games this weekend. Like, I'm going to guess that you just haven't seen too many stretches like this, even in your career.
No, certainly not for any length of time. Now, you might see a guy get hot for a week, maybe 2 weeks. Brett sometimes would be hot for a month, but beyond that it's almost impossible. But yeah, you want to accentuate that as much as you can, get as much out of it as you possibly can, because baseball has a way of really, after it builds you up, it can kind of knock you down a little bit. But Bobby Witt is so talented, and he's figuring the game out as he goes along. I mean, he doesn't really have a lot of experience, let's be honest. And every time he plays a game, he keeps learning. And to the other teams, that has to be pretty scary.
That is Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals, joining us on the show today. Denny, it's always an honor to get a chance to talk baseball with you. I appreciate you.
Always fun for me, Carrington. Thanks.
Absolutely. That is Denny Matthews joining us on the show today. You can catch him every Monday at 3 o'clock. Coming up on the other side, we continue to count down until the start of the NFL season. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Counting down the 100 days until the Chiefs' title defense begins at Arrowhead.
Harrison Butker set to kick it off. The run-up. Butker's kick in Super Bowl 58 is underway in a high, deep spinning kick.
Every day at 3:15 on The Drive.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful Monday. Every day at this time, we are counting down to the start of the NFL season. I will admit, I have absolutely no clue how many days we are at the countdown. I just know we do the countdown every day at this time. Rob, I know we're at less than 50. I think it's at like 45 or 44 days. Where are we at today?
45, exactly.
Okay,
you nailed
all right.
It. Woo.
I knew 50 was recently. And I did see that I believe we are 6 weeks away from Red Zone coming back. I saw Scott Hansen put out that tweet. So I am absolutely thrilled about the return of Red Zone. That's neither here nor there. So what I would like to do today is I would like to play for you guys what John Harbaugh had to say. John Harbaugh is very mad that some of you are very hard on Lamar Jackson. Here's what he said.
There's a lot of great things said about Lamar, but there's a lot of stuff that said you got to just scratch your head about and kind of wonder, what's that person even thinking, you know? So, but we take it personally. You know, Lamar's a guy all his life. Lamar Jackson has been a guy who's been answering those same questions. I'm talking about since he was a kid, junior high school, college, the draft, the success he's had in the National Football League, and it still comes up, okay? And he's still growing. He's got a growth mindset. He's going to get better and better, no doubt. But what does he have to do to prove himself to some people, right? And I believe the Ravens, and we've always had a vision for Lamar Jackson. It started with Lamar's vision and his mom's vision when he said he was going to be a quarterback. He was going to be a quarterback in high school. He's going to be a quarterback in college. He's going to be a quarterback in the National Football League. The vision for Lamar Jackson, and it's a vision, it's something you see it like it's already happened. You can see it like it's already been done. The victory has already been won when you pour into a vision. And the vision that we have together is that Lamar Jackson is going to become and be known and be recognized as the greatest quarterback ever to play in the history of the National Football League.
That was John Harbaugh as he met with the media to discuss Lamar Jackson. This seems very simple to me. Let me explain it to you. There is no denying that Lamar Jackson is one of the better regular season quarterbacks in the National Football League. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. When Lamar Jackson is a starter for the Baltimore Ravens, they have been one of the five best teams in the National Football League since he arrived. The Ravens are 58-19 when Lamar Jackson starts. He is completing 64% of his passes for his career, 125 touchdown passes, 45 interceptions, and that is not to count what he gives you on the ground, and he is possibly the most mobile, best dual threat quarterback that we have ever seen in the history of the National Football League. No one denies regular season Lamar. The problem is when the calendar turns, and this is where the problem lies. You know how I just told you that Lamar completes 64% of his passes? That goes down to 53% in the postseason in the games in which they have lost. He has four touchdown passes and five interceptions in Ravens postseason losses. He has a quarterback rating of 69 in Ravens postseason losses. To give you an idea of what that is, that's what Bailey Zappi's quarterback rating was last season. So in the regular season, Lamar is up there. He is one of the top cream of the crop. In the postseason, he's Bailey Zappi. Daniel Jones had a 70 quarterback rating last year. He's Daniel Jones in the postseason. He goes from a top five quarterback to a bottom five quarterback. You can argue that the Ravens have not been to the Super Bowl because their quarterback hasn't been good enough when it matters most. He was not good enough in their early exit to the Tennessee Titans. I don't think he was good enough in the second half against the Kansas City Chiefs. He has been very inconsistent in those postseason games. You know how you quiet the haters? You win. You guys remember that scene in Rocky 3 or Rocky 2 where Rocky was real mopey for most of Rocky 2, like real mopey. And then Adrian got sick and she was in the hospital for a while and Rocky was all torn up about it. You know what? Adrian was okay. And remember when she leaned the Rock and said, "I want you to do one thing." Rocky looked dumb, like he didn't know what she was about to say. And she was like, "Win." And the music started playing. And Mick was like, "Oh, what the hell are we waiting for?" That's my Mickey impression. I think I kind of smoked that Mickey impression. And then Rocky just went out there and he won. And then you quit questioning Rocky because he knocked out you guys' hero, Apollo Creed. That's all you have to do, Lamar. Win in the postseason. That's it. No one denies that you're good. We all think that you're good. You've won two MVPs. You're one of the five best quarterbacks in the league. Everyone agrees. In the postseason, you have been terrible. You go from Lamar Jackson to Tito Jackson. We just want you to be better. That's it. Now, you're not the only one that has this problem, certainly in the AFC. You're not the only one that has this problem. If you got to go up against the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, that's actually a pretty common problem in the AFC. But Lamar, you got to play better. So, John, nobody is hating. Nobody is being a critic. He is significantly worse in the postseason than he is in the regular season. And not just like a normal dip. You're going to have a little bit of a dip. You remove the bad teams of the league in the postseason. The stakes are up. The weather is different. We can take a dip in production. You can't go from being a top five to a bottom five quarterback. You can't go from having a career 98 quarterback rating to a 69 quarterback rate. It's a 30-point difference. That is a significant difference of the kind of quarterback that you are. Lamar Jackson is at the point that great players get to when they haven't won a championship. You've won the MVPs. You've been on the cover of Madden. You have the money. You have all the success. You have had a great career. When are you winning a championship? That's it. It's really that simple.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying, but at the same time, to an extent, I agree with John Harbaugh. I think Lamar Jackson is judged very much differently than other quarterbacks in the NFL. Because you're right, he does fall into the category of hasn't been great in the postseason, falls short to Mahomes. But a lot of guys have that on their resume, and we talk about them different. People still refer to Lamar Jackson as a guy who, you know, he just can't throw it that well. He's still viewed as like a scrambler. It was this time last season, people on the internet were making jokes about, oh, the Chiefs should trade for him because he'd be a great running back. That is not how we talk about any other quarterback in the league. Everything you said about he's good in the regular season, falls short in the postseason, isn't Patrick Mahomes, is the exact same thing we talk about Josh Allen. But when we talk about Josh Allen as a football community, we talk about him different than Lamar Jackson. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that he's held to a different standard. Maybe it's the Heisman. Maybe people have been saying, and I'm victim to this as well.
Josh Allen, though, also, sorry to cut you off, he also is a loser. So we can talk differently about Josh Allen all
we want. We're way harder on Lamar,
though.
He has
one AFC championship game. He has never made the Super Bowl. Josh Allen has not had the individual or team success that Lamar Jackson has had. Neither one. He has not had either one of those things.
And I think we are far harsher as a society on Lamar Jackson than Josh Allen. If we went and polled 100 Chiefs fans, maybe Chiefs fans are a bad metric. Doesn't matter. Who's a better quarterback? Who's a more accomplished quarterback? Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson? I bet Josh Allen is the overwhelming favorite, but nothing about Josh Allen's resume is he is a more accomplished quarterback than Lamar Jackson. So do I think he's going to be the greatest of all time? No, I disagree with John Harbaugh on that. Do I think he kind of falls in the category of is a loser and not Mahomes? Probably. But do I think we sometimes forget Lamar Jackson is a multiple-time MVP who has been to the AFC title game at home and is one of the 5 to 4 best quarterbacks on the planet, and he somehow isn't viewed that way? Yes, that happens more often than not. So when he says we hear a lot of these things about Lamar that are kind of crazy, I don't think he's all that wrong. I mean, Bill Polian on draft night said he should be a wide receiver. Like, it's different.
The thing that will just forever make me scratch my head about the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm not saying the Chiefs didn't deserve to win. They won the game. They won. It still makes absolutely no sense to me. None. It makes no sense to me how Baltimore called 3 run plays for Gus Edwards and they call 3 run plays for Justice Hill. It makes no sense to me how the Ravens got to the AFC Championship game with a certain style, and then in the most important game of the season just said, no, we're good. We're not going to do any of the things that got us here. We're not going to do any of the things that help us be the best team in the regular season. We are going to play a completely different style and brand of football. In this game, they tried to make Lamar Jackson Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes threw it 39 times. Lamar threw it 37 times. That's not who he is. You need to be a ball control, balanced kind of attack. And the Ravens for a game, it was just like their hardware was scrambled. That's not how you beat a Kansas City trying to out Chiefs the Chiefs. Play Ravens football. It's really successful. It works. It doesn't make any sense to me. I do think eventually, and you and I have talked about this, one of these other quarterbacks is going to break through. I don't know how many Mahomes is going to get. I just know he's not getting all of them, right? Somebody else is winning a championship. Lamar wins a championship. Josh Allen wins a championship. Burrow wins one. Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, whoever you, somebody else eventually wins a championship. I'm still going to believe that Lamar at the end of this thing is going to be one of the quarterbacks that gets a ring. Maybe it happens this year. Maybe it happens in 3 years. I don't know when it happens. But right now, the only quarterback under 30 with any playoff success is on the Chiefs. Somebody else, even during Brady's run, Roethlisberger got one. Rodgers got one. Peyton Manning got one. Russell Wilson got one. Like, even during Brady's incredible run, other of his contemporaries won a championship. That is not at all the case right now for Patrick Mahomes, and you have to wonder if, I guess, and when that trend will be broken. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to Clark Hunt. Clark Hunt met with the media earlier today. It's not very often that the owner of the Kansas City Chiefs talks. We'll play for you some of what he said. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Can you guys do me a favor? And I'm not even saying this as a point of being critical. I'm genuinely curious. What quarterbacks do you guys like? Now, I understand, you know, you have the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes, so your answer could just be none, and that's an acceptable answer. I will accept that answer if that's what you want to turn in on the paper, but whenever we have these conversations, Rob, about other quarterbacks in the league, would you agree the text line generally doesn't like said quarterback? Text line doesn't like Josh Allen, doesn't like Lamar, doesn't like Joe Burrow, doesn't like Jalen Hurts. Like, what quarterbacks do you guys like? Like, let's say, I know it's hard to believe, even though we've seen it happen while Patrick Mahomes is playing. Let's say that one year Mahomes doesn't win the Super Bowl. Like when we saw Matthew Stafford win the ring. Like, let's say one year, I know it's hard, but one year somebody else wins. What quarterback do you think it will be? Who do you think it will be? I'm curious. Text line 913-586-7610. I just out of curiosity. I am curious to know who you guys like at quarterback, because I don't know. I generally think I have a good idea of who you guys like and who you don't like. But I don't know who you like, because when it comes to quarterback, you don't seem to really like anybody. You guys don't like Justin Herbert. Don't like Trevor Lawrence. Somebody said Jordan Love. Okay, that's fine. I can live with that. I can live with Jordan Love.
I mean, for now. I think the NFC things are different in Kansas City. I think you guys say, who's your favorite AFC quarterback? Because the NFC Chiefs fans are like, oh, he's good.
No, and liking Jordan Love is, Jordan Love hasn't failed yet either. Like, it's easy to like Jordan Love right now. You've never seen Jordan Love come up short. Text line is saying CJ Stroud, another quarterback. You've never seen CJ fail, right? You've never seen CJ fail.
I mean, he did lose in the postseason this year. Does that not count? Does he not get a blemish?
I know, but I'm saying, like, year one, if you win your division in year one and then you win one playoff game, nobody thought that CJ Stroud was going on the road in his first postseason game, like a second postseason game, first road postseason start. You were not expected to win that game. So, yeah, I would say right now, CJ Stroud, if CJ Stroud's your answer, that is a good answer. I like CJ Stroud too. But we have to at least acknowledge with CJ Stroud, you've never seen him come up short. Where you've seen Joe Burrow come up short, you've seen Josh Allen come up short, you've seen Lamar. It's still early. We're still in the honeymoon phase with CJ Stroud. He's the young 22-year-old dating Amber Rose. He's the new kid on the block. Yeah, it makes sense why you like CJ Stroud. I'm not hating on the CJ Stroud answer. I also like CJ Stroud, but it makes sense why you still like CJ Stroud is he doesn't have a blemish yet. He doesn't have a knock. There was a time when that was Lamar. Lamar was CJ Stroud. He was a 22, 23-year-old quarterback who won MVP and was the quarterback of the best team in the league. That happened. And I think with Stroud, I think Stroud gets a little bit more of a pass because Stroud does play more like the traditional quarterback. He doesn't run that much. I mean, he was fantastic last year. He was really, really good last year. He doesn't also run a whole lot. So I think people see that as a more sustainable way to win. And Rob, I've told you this from day one. People count the rushing yards different than they count the passing yards. Like, it is better to you, it is better, in my opinion, on the text line, for you to throw for 300 yards and rush for 0 yards than for you to throw for 225 yards and run for 125 yards. For some reason, the 300 passing yards just count for more. I don't get it. It has never made sense to me. I feel like a yard is a yard, but that is not how we evaluate when it comes to quarterbacks. Last year, C.J. Stroud had 167 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns, so he is not really one to take off and run, where we know that Lamar, he is going to run the ball a lot. Last year, he ran the ball a lot. Last year, Lamar Jackson ran for 821 yards and 5 touchdowns. We do not, for whatever reason, we do not add those numbers to Lamar Jackson total. We only count the passing yards for him, even though we know his game is a lot more than that.
You know what else I think? I mean, this is unique to Kansas City. I think most fans locally like C.J. Stroud because he hasn't butt up against Mahomes yet. The minute a quarterback goes head-to-head with Mahomes, by the way, they usually lose. The minute they lose to Mahomes, Chiefs fans seem to fall over themselves to explain why that quarterback's not in the same pantheon.
100%.
We know that quarterback's not in the same pantheon, but Josh Allen last year had a really good second half. He was a candidate for MVP. He was a very good football player. He lost at home to Patrick Mahomes. Say Josh Allen's good, and the text line will fill with, oh, well, what? I couldn't beat Patrick Mahomes. What did he make? Didn't make that one play. He runs too much. He flops too much. Lamar Jackson was the literal MVP last year, was fantastic for the Ravens. Lost at home to Patrick Mahomes. People follow themselves why Lamar stinks. Lamar's no good. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's awful. Joe Burrow was 1-0 against Mahomes in the postseason. Now he's 1-1. And it's all, oh, just luck. If Mahomes plays well in the second half, you know, Burrow doesn't even have the one. The minute they bump into Mahomes, the narrative around that player changes. So this year, if it's the wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC title round, it doesn't matter when it happens. Let's say Mahomes and Stroud bump into each other. Even if Stroud loses and I say, who's your second favorite quarterback in the league? I promise you will not see a CJ Stroud answer on the text line because they don't like anyone who has bumped into Patrick Mahomes.
I do think it's fair. The fact that CJ Stroud hasn't been positioned yet against Patrick Mahomes, they also don't have a matchup against one another, where you've seen Lamar and Mahomes go at each other a bunch. You've seen Allen and Mahomes in multiple postseason games. Same thing with Burrow. That is a really good point. Stroud just hasn't played enough games to be in that point where you face CJ Stroud and you know the moment somebody picks the Texans to beat the Chiefs in a postseason game, oh, that love for C.J. Stroud is completely going out of the window. You know what? I'm going to call an audible here. Let's do Clark Hunt at the top of the hour. Let's keep talking quarterbacks for just a bit. Adam Schefter was on Pat McAfee's show. Here he is talking about Jordan Love. So if you guys missed it, some of you said you like Jordan Love. I like Jordan Love too. Jordan Love signed a contract extension last year, so it guaranteed him $13 million. It was to kind of create a little bit of cap space, give him some guaranteed money because he wasn't a starter. It was not a significant starting deal by any metric. He went out. He had a great season. It is now time to show me the money. And he said, I am not practicing until we get this financial thing figured out. He is at practice. He's watching it on the iPad. He's in the meetings, but he is not going to participate on the field for the Green Bay Packers until a deal is reached. Here's Adam Schefter on this deal getting done.
They told the Packers on Saturday this was the deal, but when you have a guy there, and the GM, Brian Gutekunst, is on board with that and saying that they're optimistic about getting the deal done and they understand why he's not practicing. Like, that's a sign that they're trying to get this worked out. I think both sides think they can get it worked out. It's not done. It could go either way still, but I think by the end of the week, my guess would be that Jordan Love will have a new contract that probably makes him one of the, if not the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. Mm. He'll be right there. But they're trying to get that done. It's not done yet. And so the prudent thing is to hold him out because he's much early on the first few days.
Whoa.
Until they get the pads on.
That's right.
And then he'll be there. He was there during the offseason, took part in all the drills then. But they're close enough on this deal now that it doesn't make sense for him to be a part of practice. So, again, they're going to try to get that done. My guess is they do get it done. We'll see if they can figure out a way to get it done by the end of the week.
I completely understand why Jordan Love is not at practice. Now, I know the stance that some of you guys take. You sign a deal, you need to be on the field. I get it. If you are Jordan Love and you go in practice and you get injured, you cost yourself a significant amount of money. Now, maybe you guys disagree with whether or not you should pay Jordan Love right now and think he needs a little bit more time and experience. I won't disagree with you if that's your position. But we have to acknowledge that right now Jordan Love is set to make $13 million guaranteed to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He is worth potentially four times more than that amount. You cannot practice. You cannot go out there and possibly get injured in a practice situation for your employer. You cannot do that. So I think that Jordan is well within his right. I do think that a deal gets done at some point by the end of the week. If he's there, it's not that bad. This is not like Chris Jones. Chris Jones was in Miami during this time. Jordan Love is there. He is not getting fined right now because he is there. So he is participating in all the other team stuff except the most important team activity. Rob, that would be like if me and you, I was here for the show prep. I recorded an interview, and then I was like, you know what, man? Hey, at 2 o'clock, hey, you got it, dog. You got it. You got it. No, you can't do that. You need to practice at some point. I'm going to guess that they get this deal done. Also on Jordan Love, and we'll move on to Tua really quickly. If you're Jordan Love, the cost for you is the same thing that Trevor Lawrence got. There is not a world in which I would take less money than Trevor Lawrence got if I am Jordan Love. My completion percentage is comparable to Jordan Love. Last year, I threw for more yards in a season than Trevor Lawrence has at any point in his career. Trevor Lawrence has never thrown 30 touchdown passes in a season. I just did it last year. And we have the same number of playoff wins. My playoff win was on the road. His was at home. Jordan Love is a better quarterback and a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence is. If I saw him just get 5 years, $275 million, and he got $200 million of that guaranteed, I need five for 280. I need 205 guaranteed. I'll take a little bit more than Trevor Lawrence just because that's how these deals go. And then I'm ready to go ahead and get back to work.
I mean, I agree with you that Trevor Lawrence should be the baseline, but if I'm Jordan Love and his agent, I'm asking for like real big, big money. Jordan Love's been a starter in the NFL for what, one season? Is it one and a, is it two seasons now? One and a half? You could argue that even though the age next to my name is that of a 25, 26, 27 year old, I'm basically a 23 year old playing in the league because I can achieve more because I haven't started that much. And in year one, you saw it. In year one, I made the playoffs. In year one, I was a good player, and there is the sky is the limit. I know that I agree with you. Like, Trevor Lawrence is obviously the number he should get. But if I'm Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence is the basement. Like, I'm asking for big money. And you heard in the cut, Adam Schefter said he'll go down as one of the, if not the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I don't think Jordan Love's the best quarterback in the NFL, but I could see how his agent says, yeah, you're a one-year starter. No one has this situation. Go get paid.
I also think if you're the Packers, I mean, this is sort of what you have to do. This continues the line. You had Favre. You had Rodgers. It looks like Jordan Love is ready to take the torch. You have so many young players and young talent on that team. Right now, out of your last season, your top six pass catchers, all of them return. All of them are under the age of 25. Green Bay is in a position to take a big step forward, and we'll see if they do this season. We'll see if the Packers and Jordan Love reach a long-term extension. I do believe that they will at some point. Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. Can you guys do me a favor? And I'm not even saying this as a point of being critical. I'm genuinely curious. What quarterbacks do you guys like? Now, I understand, you know, you have the best quarterback in the league in Patrick Mahomes, so your answer could just be none, and that's an acceptable answer. I will accept that answer if that's what you want to turn in on the paper, but whenever we have these conversations, Rob, about other quarterbacks in the league, would you agree the text line generally doesn't like said quarterback? Text line doesn't like Josh Allen, doesn't like Lamar, doesn't like Joe Burrow, doesn't like Jalen Hurts. Like, what quarterbacks do you guys like? Like, let's say, I know it's hard to believe, even though we've seen it happen while Patrick Mahomes is playing. Let's say that one year Mahomes doesn't win the Super Bowl. Like when we saw Matthew Stafford win the ring. Like, let's say one year, I know it's hard, but one year somebody else wins. What quarterback do you think it will be? Who do you think it will be? I'm curious. Text line 913-586-7610. I just out of curiosity. I am curious to know who you guys like at quarterback, because I don't know. I generally think I have a good idea of who you guys like and who you don't like. But I don't know who you like. Because when it comes to quarterback, you don't seem to really like anybody. You guys don't like Justin Herbert. Don't like Trevor Lawrence. Somebody said Jordan Love. Okay, that's fine. I can live with that. I can live with Jordan Love.
I mean, for now. I think the NFC things are different in Kansas City. I think you guys say who's your favorite AFC quarterback. Because the NFC Chiefs fans are like, oh, he's good.
No, and liking Jordan Love is... Jordan Love hasn't failed yet either. Like, it's easy to like Jordan Love right now. You've never seen Jordan Love come up short. Text line is saying C.J. Stroud, another quarterback. You've never seen C.J. fail, right? You've never seen C.J. fail.
I mean, he did lose in the postseason this year. Does that not count? Does he not get a blemish on his resume?
I know, but I'm saying, like, year one, if you win your division in year one and then you win one playoff game, nobody thought that C.J. Stroud was going on the road in his first postseason game, like a second postseason game, first road postseason start. You were not expected to win that game. So, yeah, I would say right now, C.J. Stroud, if C.J. Stroud is your answer, that is a good answer. I like C.J. Stroud, too. But we have to at least acknowledge with C.J. Stroud, you've never seen him come up short. Where you've seen Joe Burrow come up short. You've seen Josh Allen come up short. You've seen Lamar. It's still we're still in the honeymoon phase with C.J. Stroud. He's the young 22-year-old dating Amber Rose. He's the new kid on the block. Yeah, it makes sense why you like C.J. Stroud. I'm not hating on the C.J. Stroud answer. I also like C.J. Stroud, but... it makes sense why you still like C.J. Stroud is he doesn't have a blemish yet. He doesn't have a knock. There was a time when that was Lamar. Lamar was C.J. Stroud. He was a 22, 23-year-old quarterback who won MVP and was the quarterback of the best team in the league. That happened. And I think with Stroud, I think Stroud gets a little bit more of a pass because Stroud does play more like the traditional quarterback. He doesn't run that much. He was fantastic last year. He was really, really good last year. He doesn't also run a whole lot. So I think people see that as a more sustainable way to win. And Rob, I've told you this from day one. People count the rushing yards different than they count the passing yards. Like, it is better to you. It is better, in my opinion, on the text line for you to throw for 300 yards and rush for 0 yards than for you to throw for 225 yards and run for 125 yards. For some reason, the 300 passing yards just count for more. I don't get it. It has never made sense to me. I feel like a yard is a yard, but that is not how we evaluate when it comes to quarterbacks. Last year, C.J. Stroud had 167 yards rushing and 3 touchdowns. So he is not really one to take off and run, where we know that Lamar, he is going to run the ball a lot. Last year, he ran the ball a lot. Last year, Lamar Jackson ran for 821 yards and 5 touchdowns. We do not, for whatever reason, we do not add those numbers to Lamar Jackson total. We only count the passing yards for him, even though we know his game is a lot more than that.
You know what else I think? I mean, this is unique to Kansas City. I think most fans locally like C.J. Stroud because he hasn't butt up against Mahomes yet. The minute a quarterback goes head-to-head with Mahomes, by the way, they usually lose. The minute they lose to Mahomes, Chiefs fans seem to fall over themselves to explain why that quarterback's not in the same pantheon.
100%.
We know that quarterback's not in the same pantheon, but Josh Allen last year had a really good second half. He was a candidate for MVP. He was a very good football player. He lost at home to Patrick Mahomes. Say Josh Allen's good, and the text line will fill with, oh, well, what? I couldn't beat Patrick Mahomes. What did he make? Didn't make that one play. He runs too much. He flops too much. Lamar Jackson was the literal MVP last year, was fantastic for the Ravens. Lost at home to Patrick Mahomes. People follow themselves why Lamar stinks. Lamar's no good. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's awful. Joe Burrow was 1-0 against Mahomes in the postseason. Now he's 1-1. And it's all, oh, just luck. If Mahomes plays well in the second half, you know, Burrow doesn't even have the one. The minute they bump into Mahomes, the narrative around that player changes. So this year, if it's the wild card round, the divisional round, the AFC title round, it doesn't matter when it happens. Let's say Mahomes and Stroud bump into each other. Even if Stroud loses and I say, who's your second favorite quarterback in the league? I promise you will not see a CJ Stroud answer on the text line because they don't like anyone who has bumped into Patrick Mahomes.
I do think it's fair. The fact that CJ Stroud hasn't been positioned yet against Patrick Mahomes, they also don't have a matchup against one another where you've seen Lamar and Mahomes go at each other a bunch. You've seen Allen and Mahomes in multiple postseason games. Same thing with Burrow. That is a really good point. Stroud just hasn't played enough games to be in that point where you face CJ Stroud and you know the moment somebody picks the Texans to beat the Chiefs in a postseason game, oh, that love for CJ Stroud is completely going out of the window. You know what? I'm going to call an audible here. Let's do Clark Hunt at the top of the hour. Let's keep talking quarterbacks for just a bit. Adam Schefter was on Pat McAfee's show. Here he is talking about Jordan Love. So if you guys missed it, some of you said you like Jordan Love. I like Jordan Love too. Jordan Love signed a contract extension last year, so it guaranteed him $13 million. It was to kind of create a little bit of cap space, give him some guaranteed money because he wasn't a starter. It was not a significant starting deal by any metric. He went out. He had a great season. It is now time to show me the money. And he said, I am not practicing until we get this financial thing figured out. He is at practice. He's watching it on the iPad. He's in the meetings. But he is not going to participate on the field for the Green Bay Packers until a deal is reached. Here's Adam Schefter on this deal getting done.
They told the Packers on Saturday this was the deal. But when you have a guy there, and the GM, Brian Gutekunst, is on board with that and saying that they're optimistic about getting the deal done and they understand why he's not practicing. Like, that's a sign that they're trying to get this worked out. I think both sides think they can get it worked out. It's not done. It could go either way still, but I think by the end of the week, my guess would be that Jordan Love will have a new contract that probably makes him one of the, if not the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. Mm. He'll be right there. But they're trying to get that done. It's not done yet. And so the prudent thing is to hold him out because he's much early on the first few days.
Whoa.
Until they get the pads on.
That's right.
And then he'll be there. He was there during the offseason, took part in all the drills then. But they're close enough on this deal now that it doesn't make sense for him to be a part of practice. So, again, they're going to try to get that done. My guess is they do get it done. We'll see if they can figure out a way to get it done by the end of the week.
I completely understand why Jordan Love is not at practice. Now, I know the stance that some of you guys take. You sign a deal, you need to be on the field. I get it. If you are Jordan Love and you go in practice and you get injured, you cost yourself a significant amount of money. Now, maybe you guys disagree with whether or not you should pay Jordan Love right now and think he needs a little bit more time and experience. I won't disagree with you if that's your position. But we have to acknowledge that right now Jordan Love is set to make $13 million guaranteed to play quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. He is worth potentially four times more than that amount. You cannot practice. You cannot go out there and possibly get injured in a practice situation for your employer. You cannot do that. So I think that Jordan is well within his right. I do think that a deal gets done at some point by the end of the week. If he's there, it's not that bad. This is not like Chris Jones. Chris Jones was in Miami during this time. Jordan Love is there. He is not getting fined right now because he is there. So he is participating in all the other team stuff except the most important team activity. Rob, that would be like if me and you, I was here for the show prep. I recorded an interview and then I was like, you know what, man? Hey, at 2 o'clock. Hey, you got it, dog. You got it. You got it. No, you can't do that. You need to practice at some point. I'm going to guess that they get this deal done. Also on Jordan Love, and we'll move on to Tua really quickly. If you're Jordan Love, the cost for you is the same thing that Trevor Lawrence got. There is not a world in which I would take less money than Trevor Lawrence got if I am Jordan Love. My completion percentage is comparable to Jordan Love. Last year, I threw for more yards in a season than Trevor Lawrence has at any point in his career. Trevor Lawrence has never thrown 30 touchdown passes in a season. I just did it last year. And we have the same number of playoff wins. My playoff win was on the road. His was at home. Jordan Love is a better quarterback and a better prospect than Trevor Lawrence is. If I saw him just get 5 years, $275 million, and he got $200 million of that guaranteed, I need 5 for $280. I need $205 guaranteed. I'll take a little bit more than Trevor Lawrence just because that's how these deals go. And then I'm ready to go ahead and get back to work.
I mean, I agree with you that Trevor Lawrence should be the baseline. But if I'm Jordan Love and his agent, I'm asking for like real big, big money. Jordan Love's been a starter in the NFL for what, one season? Is it one and a, is it two seasons now? One and a half? You could argue that even though the age next to my name is that of a 25, 26, 27-year-old, I'm basically a 23-year-old playing in the league because I can achieve more because I haven't started that much. And in year one, you saw it. In year one, I made the playoffs. In year one, I was a good player, and there is the sky is the limit. I know that I agree with you. Like, Trevor Lawrence is obviously the number he should get. But if I'm Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence is the basement. Like, I'm asking for big money. And you heard in the cut, Adam Schefter said he'll go down as one of the, if not the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. I don't think Jordan Love's the best quarterback in the NFL, but I could see how his agent says, yeah, you're a one-year starter. No one has this situation. Go get paid, paid.
I also think if you're the Packers, I mean, this is sort of what you have to do. This continues the line. You had Favre, you had Rodgers. It looks like Jordan Love is ready to take the torch. You have so many young players and young talent on that team. Right now, out of your last season, your top six pass catchers, all of them return. All of them are under the age of 25. Green Bay is in a position to take a big step forward, and we'll see if they do this season. We'll see if the Packers and Jordan Love reach a long-term extension. I do believe that they will at some point by the end of the week. By this time next week, I fully believe that Jordan Love will be under contract, will be at practice, and we will be discussing how much money Jordan Love got paid in the offseason. Speaking of paid, Tua is still looking to get a new contract. Here's Adam Schefter.
The Dolphins have been very open about the fact that Tua is their guy into the future. But the question is, what is the number? And Pat, you were talking about all the different numbers, right? What is the guarantee on Tua? What are you guaranteeing Tua, who's had an injury history? He just has had that. So I think that that has to factor in and make that deal a little bit more complicated and layered and nuanced than some of these other deals. But he's going to be paid up there if they can get it worked out. There's no doubt he's deserving. They've established that he's their guy of the future. But I think that when you have some of the injuries there, I think some of the questions about the guaranteed money become interesting.
That was Adam Schefter of ESPN. He was on the Pat McAfee show earlier today talking about Tua. This is my question to you, Rob. Do you think we ever get to the point where there is an owner and he has a good quarterback? You will never hear me say Tua is bad. I don't think that Tua is bad. Do you think we get to a point where an owner says, hey, we got the 13th best quarterback in the league, and you guys are telling me that I need to pay him like he's the third best quarterback in the league? That doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Do you think we get to a point where we see a team with a quarterback who is in his prime, let him walk and hit the open market, and they restart the process and they try to find another cost-controlled player? Do you think we are anywhere close to that point? Because one thing I'll push back on is we talk about how difficult it is to build a championship roster once you pay your quarterback. I mean, at this point, we are reaching the point where almost three quarters of the league has paid their quarterback, or you have a quarterback on a rookie deal like CJ Stroud and your plan is to pay him eventually. But there just aren't many teams that have a good quarterback that they haven't paid yet. Like, think of a team that you think is good in the National Football League. Other than San Francisco, all of them have paid their quarterback at this point. That's just the cost of doing business in the league. So I don't know anymore if that is a disadvantage, because almost every team is fighting almost with the same parameters. I just wonder if we are going to see a scenario where a team has the 13th best quarterback the way that Miami does, and then they look at it and say, hold on, we're not doing this at any other position. At no other position is this person the 14th at his job, and you were telling me to pay him like he is the best at his job. That does not sound like the best way to build a team, but Miami sounds like they're about to do that.
I mean, maybe it's not ownership, but like, isn't that the path to getting fired by, as a GM? Like, hey, we're going to walk on insert quarterback X. We're done. We're going to move on from him. We're going to move on from
Alex Smith, Tua Tagovailoa, Kirk Cousins, someone in that vein. We're going to walk. And we're going to be really bad for 1 year. And after we're bad, we're then going to hope to recoup assets to then draft a player that makes us good again. Not many GMs get the leash of, hey, you got 3 years. You're going to walk on this guy. You're going to be bad with a nothing quarterback. And then you're going to have to bring in your own guy. And then he's going to have to hit the ground running. I mean, is the closest thing Minnesota? They walked on Kirk Cousins. They weren't interested in Kirk Cousins. But
yeah, but they also walked on Kirk Cousins after he was a quarterback for 7 years and they had given him a whole lot of money. But then, though, to answer your question, I think it's a good point. Doesn't that quarterback eventually get you fired anyway? I mean, it's not like Minnesota with Kirk Cousins has had the same coach this entire time. Like, you're right. If you get it wrong at quarterback with Tua, you eventually get fired. Don't you get fired if you don't win with Tua either? Like, you're going to get cut by the sword at some point. So you might as well build a roster that really gives you a chance to win a Super Bowl. And I'm here to tell you, you know who doesn't give you a chance to win a Super Bowl? Tua Tagovailoa. He does not give you a chance to win a Super Bowl. He gives you a chance to maybe win your division, maybe win double-digit games, and he is just good enough to give you enough hope to watch you lose to a team that has a far better quarterback situation than you do. We got a good one right now in London. The United States is up 85-82. They are playing Germany. This is their last scrimmage showcase game before the start of the Olympics. Germany is actually the defending world champion. They have a World Cup, sort of a Olympic tune-up, and Germany won that event. They're giving the United States all they can handle. LeBron has completely taken over the course of the last 5 minutes or so. He's had back-to-back buckets to give them the lead and got a block and a rebound. LeBron is taking over in the fourth quarter for this team. He did something very similar this weekend when they played South Sudan. The United States getting ready for the Olympics, which open up on Friday in Paris. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll talk about Clark Hunt, the owner of the team, spoke to the media earlier today. Keep it right here. So drive.